football on off the ball.
I think we've been consistent on our position that while our members and the association have made our position clear to UEFA about our sentiment of Israeli involvement in international football, that they're still entitled to play under UEFA regulations and therefore we will fulfil these fixtures.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
And welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll look back at yesterday's Premier League action, including our live commentary games between Manchester United and Crystal Palace and Arsenal and Chelsea. We look ahead to tonight's rescheduled game in the League of Ireland between St Pat's and Galway United, and could Iran's participation at this summer's World Cup be thrown into doubt? But first to the Emirates Stadium, where Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta says they're trying to stay calm in the Premier League title race after holding on to beat 10-man Chelsea 2-1. The Gunners are 5 points clear at the top at 9 games to play, but they have played a game more than second place Manchester City, and the two sides still have to play each other at the Etihad in April. Arteta feels his side aren't the only ones finding the run into the end of the season tough.
We weren't getting the dominance and the sequences of play that we wanted and expected against the 10-man. So you have to navigate through that. And it's a big part of the game. And when you see the man and other teams are winning games, everybody's suffering.
Chelsea boss Lemar Senior wants a clampdown on penalty box grappling at corners after their loss to Arsenal. His side conceded both their goals from set pieces in North London, although they did score their goal from a corner as well.
There's a rule that says it can't be a foul if the ball's not in play yet. So there's a lot of holding and grappling that goes on before the ball's actually delivered. And I think that needs to be looked at, because holding is holding. But I don't want to be bitter. We need to deal with it better.
Former Arsenal captain Patrick Vieira says expectations are high for Mikel Arteta's side after their style of play came in for criticism once again. Vieira says results is what matters at this stage of the season.
Yes, on the side of the game, creating, going forward, taking risk, we were, and I am a little bit disappointed, but the matter is for them is to win, taking the 3 points.
Manchester United interim boss Michael Carrick has equalled a Premier League record after their 2-1 win at Hampton Crystal Palace. They picked up 23 points from his 9 top-flight games in charge in the two spells, which has only ever been matched by former Tottenham boss Ange Postecoglou. The former United midfielder says they've had to adapt their game.
To put the run together that we have, we've had to do it in different ways. So that's what's more encouragement for me, really, is how we've ended up doing it in different ways. And something to look forward to, really, to build on.
Palace boss Oliver Glasner wasn't happy after the loss, with his side 1-0 up. Referee Chris Kavanagh awarded a penalty against Maxence Lacroix before he sent them off after a VAR intervention. Glasner says it was a controversial and game-changing decision.
The red card changed the game completely. I think it's a very hard decision, penalty and red card, because the foul started outside the box and usually the foul has to be given where it starts. On the other side, Mateusz Kunja was very smart to wait until he's inside the box and falling.
Former United defender Gary Neville says Michael Carrick's in the box seat now to become the club's permanent manager.
I think the run that they've gone on has been a shock to everybody, including probably Michael. Michael wouldn't have expected this in his wildest dreams. But look, he was always intelligent, Michael. He was always probably a real good personality and character, good composure, good temperament.
I spoke to Brian Kerr on the Sunday Kickback yesterday, and the former Ireland boss says that the United hierarchy would have been surprised with how well Carrick is doing in the hot seat.
So they're up to third place. They still have Liverpool to come to Old Trafford, Villa to come to Old Trafford. They go to Chelsea, who they've already beaten. It's very much in their hands. If they can go on and finish the job and, say, get the Champions League football, Carrick gives the owners a very hard decision to make, because if he doesn't get it, then whoever does get it is going to be under pressure straight away to hit the ground running next season.
Well, we don't know what's going to develop from now. I doubt if they expected that Michael Carrick was going to do as well as he's done. That's 6 wins and a draw. I think that the thinking was obviously give it to a safe pair of the hands that knows where he's at. He knows the club, but he's also had a managerial experience at Middlesbrough for a few seasons and did reasonably well there. So, but it's gone very well, and they may well be under pressure to give him the job. I think they're going to finish in the top four. Top five might be good enough to be in the Champions League, but given the run they've been on and the consistency they've shown in recent, well, since Christmas, I'd say, I think there's a very good chance they'd finish in third place. And the decision makers will be under pressure to give him the job.
And if you want to hear that back in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. Tottenham's run without a league win is now at 10 games after they were beaten 2-1 by Fulham at Craven Cottage. Spurs remain just 4 points above the relegation zone and are still without a domestic win this year. Interim boss Igor Tudor, who's taken charge for 2 games, admits there are big problems.
Plenty of things, a lot of things. We are lack when we attack. We are lack of the you know, quality to score the goal. We are lack in the middle to run, and we are lack behind to stay there and suffer and not concede the goal.
And on yesterday's Sunday kickback, Keith Tracy told Stephen Doyle that Spurs aren't too big to go down.
I remember 22 years ago when Leeds United went down, everybody was saying, too big to go down, too many good players, it's not going to happen, and they went down. Are Tottenham too big to go down?
No. No, they're not. And look, this is not an Arsenal fan deciding, look, I'm going to have a little pop at Spurs here because it'll make me feel happy to do so. I don't want Arsenal. I don't want Spurs to get relegated. I want Spurs to stay in the league. I love the North London derby. I look forward to it every single season. But Spurs are in a relegation battle, make no bones about it. I look at Nottingham Forest under Victor Pereira. I know they lost today, but their performances have just turned the corner. You're thinking, OK, they look like they have a bit. West Ham, I know they got beat on the weekend as well, but they look like they've got a little bit about them. And you look at Spurs and think, yous are standing still. And if you're standing still, there's every chance you could be caught and overtaken. I expected Igor Tudor to come in and really hit the ground running and, you know, show us a bit of an impact straight away. That hasn't quite happened. And I'm looking at all Spurs fixtures and think, where are the points coming from here? And I know there's a whole host of injuries on paper. They're a fairly good team, but those injuries are really, really starting to hurt them. And Igor Tudor coming in, is it a good decision? Is it a bad decision? Time will tell, but at the minute, he looks to be struggling to get a tune out of that Spurs team.
Nottingham Forest boss Vitor Pereira is still searching for his first Premier League win after they were beaten 2-1 by Brighton. His side remained just above the relegation zone and haven't picked up a point since they fired Sean Dyche. It's 2-2 for Pereira, who takes them to Manchester City on Wednesday night.
The future is against City, and the next game is City. It means that recover, try to rest, and to prepare ourselves to face them.
Liverpool will have to do without Florian Wirtz once again for tomorrow's trip to Wolves. The German pulled up with a back injury during the warm-up before last weekend's win against Nottingham Forest. Manager Arne Slot says it's hard to know when Wirtz will be available once again.
The game tomorrow will probably come too soon. And maybe the game in the weekend as well, but let's see how that ends up. But we hope to have him back somewhere next week. Maybe earlier, maybe a bit later, but that timescale.
Slot also spoke about a lack of joy in the football being played in the Premier League, or lack of football, in his opinion.
First of all, you have to accept. I think it's mainly here in the Premier League. If I watch other leagues, I don't think there's so much emphasis on set pieces. One of the reasons is, and that's sometimes funny for me to do, if I watch an Eredivisie game, which I still do, I see goals being disallowed or falls on goalkeepers being given. I'm like, wow, that's a big difference. Here you can almost hit a goalkeeper in his face and the referee still says, just go on. Do I like it? My football heart doesn't like it. I already said once in this press conference, if you ask me, yeah, then thinking about football, I think about 10, 15 years ago, about the Barcelona team. Every Sunday evening, you were hoping that they would play. And now, most of the games I see in the Premier League are not, for me, a joy to watch. But it's always interesting because it's so competitive. And that is what makes this league great, because there's so much competitiveness. Everyone can win from everyone. But just as someone who loves to watch football without being interested in who's winning or losing it, just to be enjoyed, I think there's a big difference now between 3 or 4 years ago in the Premier League. Not only because of the set pieces, also because teams have become so much stronger. So 3 or 4 years ago, when the top clubs faced the number 18, 17, 16, 15, could have been a 4 or 5 goals difference. And that's usually what you like. If there's so much difference between the teams, then one team is really good. But that's not the situation anymore. So it's not only about the set pieces. It's also because so many teams have become very strong. But we're not going to change it. So and maybe in 5 or 10 years' time, things will change again. But what I wouldn't be surprised of, if you go to an under-16 game somewhere, you know, how do you call this here? Sunday League football? We call this amateur football in Holland. I wouldn't be surprised if you see teams completely being focused, 16-year-olds on set pieces. That's the new reality, and I have my opinion about it, but it doesn't change.
Celtic boss Martin O'Neill says the champions still have a fighting chance of defending their Scottish Premiership title after their dramatic 2-2 draw with Rangers at Ibrox. They had to come from 2-0 down to rescue a point. Rio Hatate scored a rebound after his injury time penalty was saved by Jack Butland. O'Neill's side trail leaders Hearts by 8 points and Rangers by 3, but they do have a game in hand on both sides.
We've been fighting the whole way through. It seems as if it's like the old proverbial mountain to climb every single week, and it's getting, you know, games are getting fewer and fewer now. But even so, we're still well in it. We're still well in this here.
Rangers are 6 points behind Hearts after that result at Ibrox, but manager Danny Rowell is refusing to be too despondent.
Still 9 games to go. It means 27 points. But there's no doubt at the moment to give up or something like this, to be too disappointed. Now it's about going forward, next game, and there's still a long way to go for all the teams.
And on Monday mornings, Off the Ball Breakfast, football writer and broadcaster Henry Winter joined Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig, and he spoke about the perception of Martin O'Neill and how it's changed in recent years.
I think he's a lawyer at heart. I mean, he trained to be a lawyer. I think he would have made a very good polemicist. Because of his way with words, because he's a player whisperer, he's a man manager, he's absolutely brilliant like that. I don't think it's bitterness. I think, you know, possibly he sees people involved in football, and and he's worked with Clough, he's worked with so many great players, he's been in the, you know, he won the European Cup. And maybe he just sees they're simply not at the level that they should be. And I quite like that. I'm not sure it's bitterness, because he's got, you know, after what he went through, with his wife, the fact that, you know, she's still here. I mean, really basic human life elements like that. You know, 2 great daughters as well, who we know from locally. I mean, one of them used to sort of sing with our neighbour's daughter. And it was just, one of the great sounds of the village. I mean, it's just, you know, he's, if you want to approach life well, with hunger, with an intellectual curiosity, be Martin O'Neill. Yeah. I mean, I can remember going to one press conference with him talking about a pre-season game, and we had a 10-minute argument about Chappaquiddick, because I'd been to Martha's Vineyard in the summer and gone to the bridge where Mary Jo Kopechne died.
Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app and on YouTube.
On this week's episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors, centres on how Mikey Johnson could have swapped the English Midlands for the beaches of Rio de Janeiro. Yes, Republic of Ireland winger Mikey Johnson was on the verge of a move to one of the biggest clubs in Brazil, in Flamengo. But why did it fall by the wayside? Find out in this week's episode of Sliding Doors, coming to you free each and every Monday. Subscribe in your OTB football podcast feed to not miss an episode of Richie McCormick's Sliding Doors.
Tara O'Hanlon has joined up with the Ireland squad ahead of the World Cup qualifiers against France and the Netherlands. Carlo Ward's side kick off their campaign against France at Tallaght Stadium tomorrow night. Former Piemont United winger O'Hanlon is currently on loan at Celtic from Manchester City. Crystal Palace defender Hayley Nolan is a doubt for the match due to an ankle injury. Kickoff is 7:30. You can hear live commentary of the game on Off the Ball, on News Talk and on the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock. St. Pat's take on Galway United tonight in a rearranged game in the League of Ireland Premier Division. Pat's bounced back from their loss to Shamrock Rovers with a 4-0 win over Dundalk at Richmond Park last Friday. James Brown made his debut for Stephen Kenny's side in the game, his first appearance since he joined from Kilmarnock in the postseason. And Kenny says he's brought a feel-good factor to the group.
James, last game for Kilmarnock was on the 30th of December, you know, so for Kilmarnock. So yeah, just looking after him there. But he's had a very good debut. He's a raider, his energy, he rides along the right, and his great attitude, you know, he's infectious, and So we're we're pleased with how he contributed today.
Galway also picked up their first win of the season last Friday, beating Sligo Rovers 1-0 in the Connacht Derby. John Caulfield's side of one win, one draw and one loss from their opening three games, which is an identical record to St Pat's. Kick-off at Richmond Park tonight is 7:45. Jose Mourinho insists Gianluca Prestigiani will have no future at Benfica if he's found guilty of racially abusing Real Madrid's Vinicius Jr. The Argentine's been investigated by UEFA after allegations made by Vinicius during last month's Champions League playoff in Lisbon. Prestigiani, who denies the claims, was handed a provisional one-match ban, so he missed the second leg of the tie in Madrid last week while UEFA launched its investigation. The 20-year-old faces more severe punishment if found guilty. Benfica boss Mourinho was initially criticised for his response, in which he suggested Vinicius had incited the crowd in Lisbon with the way he celebrated his goal. He also didn't condemn Prestigiani, but on Sunday the Portuguese told reporters he was completely, utterly opposed to any kind of discrimination or prejudice or ignorance or stupidity. The 63-year-old added at a press conference, if a player didn't respect the principles, which are his and Benfica's, then the player's career with a coach named Jose Mourinho at a club named Benfica would come to an end. Iran's football chief says recent US and Israeli airstrikes have cast a shadow over the country's participation at the World Cup this summer. While there's been no talk of a boycott, Federation President Mehdi Taj says senior government and sports officials will review the situation and decide if any actions required ahead of the tournament in the US, Canada and Mexico. Iran are in Group G at the World Cup. They are due to play in LA against New Zealand and Belgium. They have a game against Egypt in Seattle. The US will host the tournament with Canada and Mexico. It kicks off on the 11th of June and runs until the 19th of July. Meanwhile, the men's finalissima match between Spain and Argentina in Doha is in doubt after the Qatar Football Association suspended football tournaments indefinitely. The contest between the European champions Spain and Copa American champions Argentina is due to take place on the 27th of March at Doha's Lusail Stadium. And finally, he's back.
Judy, that serves you right for Muscat, that. Serves you right for Muscat, that. Hey, serves you right for Muscat, that. Fucking serves you right with him.
77-year-old Neil Warnock is back in management. He has been put in temporary charge of Torquay United after their boss Paul Wotton was sacked after Saturday's 5-0 loss by Chelmsford City. Torquay are currently in the National League South. They've gone on a run of 5 games without a win. They've dropped from top spot. They had a 3-point lead at one stage. They've dropped to 4th and are now 10 points off the leaders Dorking. Warnock will take charge for Tuesday's game against Farnborough, and an update on interim arrangements will be communicated in due course. Warnock has managed more games than any other boss in English League football, and his 8 promotions is the most ever achieved. He did manage Torquay for a short spell in 1993 and has been involved with the club again since being approached by the Bryn Consortium, who took over the Gulls after they went into administration 2 years ago. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.